Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 46, The Price of Peace. Hello, I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Welcome to the fourth episode in the Saga of Branwen.
If you'd like to contact us or leave us any feedback, we'd love to hear from you.
You can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com, or you can leave us some voice feedback using the SpeakPipe widget on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com. We always enjoy hearing from you.
We do. Have we got any news and views?
Funny you should say that. We have.
At the time we're recording this, the UK is still in lockdown. We hope everyone is keeping safe and well in these unprecedented times.
My goodness, half the world must be still in lockdown, actually. There's so many countries.
Yeah.
I know. It just makes you wonder where it's all going to end, doesn't it?
It does.
We've been working with the Centre for Pagan Studies and the Doreen Valiente Foundation to take our podcast to a different audience on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. Every Monday evening at 8 p.m. UK time, we've been posting the episodes from the Saga of Branwen. So we'd like to say hello to all of the new listeners from Monday Listening on Facebook.
Yes, good to have you with us. We'll continue to post shows every Monday evening instead of our normal monthly release to coincide with this event. The shows will appear on the feed at this time too, so you'll be able to download them as normal, just much, much sooner.
And for our amazing patrons, we will start releasing the show a few days early for those of you who have chosen the early access tier. If you'd like to join them in supporting the show and helping us to continue to create new content, please go along and visit patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. So remind us, what happened in the last episode?
Perhaps, my lord, the king, my dear brother, is thinking of new wars to wage on our enemies.
Bran turned his head sharply to glare at Evnissian.
Peace, my beloved twin. You know that the mighty Bran has brought peace unheard of to this land.
Yes, that may be, but who knows what goes through the mind of a king bored in a land of peace?
What goes through my mind? I was merely curious about those ships that are heading over the sea to our lands as we speak.
So what say you, mighty Bran? Would the peace of an alliance between our two great islands be of interest to you? Yes?
Well, that might be the case indeed, my young Irish friend.
But I do feel we should keep our father informed of this possible alliance. We did promise him that we would do so.
Well, yes. Yes, we did make him that promise before we came to these shores.
Then we must leave at once and inform him.
After a few hours, as the light of the fresh, new morning brought a gentle glow to the grass, the sharp-eyed among the early risers could just see their ship gently pulling out of the bay and onto the open sea. Later still, as the foam-tossed waves could be seen softly rolling up onto the sands at the base of the great rock of Harlech, the men and women in the camp tents began to make their bleary way to the tables to break their fast. The men from the ships and the men from the court of Bran spent the day together in games, entertainment, and much feasting. They laughed, played, and wrestled together. Their champions performed many wondrous feats from the backs of noble horses, or from the rushing, noisy chariots that bounced across the fields around Bran's camp at breakneck speed. There were tales, songs, music, with much fine mead, strong ale and rich wine that Bran had stored for special occasions. By the time that the evening's wan light cast long shadows throughout the camp, the men were clapping each other on the back and singing drunkenly together, learning each other's songs and learning each other's ways. Then it was that wise Bran called them all to seat, and the talks about Branwen and her future began in earnest, as the plates were piled high on the tables, groaning under the weight of all the rich foods that the servitors laid upon them. Branwen sat in anxious silence as her fate was decided. Her head was in turmoil, and there were butterflies in her stomach. The heady scents of the roaring cooking fires and spitting cauldrons seemed to swamp her with sensations, fill her with memories and emotions, and yet, somehow, not with hunger. She felt the heat rise on the back of her neck. She drank deeply from the water-filled goblet in front of her and listened carefully to all that was said. Much as she knew the sea would continue to wash the shores of mighty Plodine, she knew that Bran and her brothers loved her deeply, and their choice would be the right one for her.
So tell me, my friend from over the narrow sea, why you think that I, as the High King of the Island of the Mighty, should give my one and only pure and beautiful sister to you as your bride?
Well, Erin has a mighty horde of warriors, and each is a champion, my lord. The mountains of Erin have withstood the ravages of many invasions, and its rivers have washed away the blood of 1,000 battles, and yet, still her fields are fertile and her people thrive. The host remaining on our sacred land is vast, yes?
But surely you know that the Island of the Mighty is just so named? Our tribes are many, our warriors are strong. What can you mean? Surely that you're not suggesting that we bend the knee to the High King of Erin?
Oh, not at all, my lord.
For if that were your plan, why should you ask for the betrothal to our most royal sister, inheritor of the Line of Dawn and the great Baeli?
Exactly so, my friend. No, what I mean is that the strong arms of our mother and Erin provide the men of your island with a strong ally, yes? Should your need arise, and we see more and more incursions by those ironclad warriors on your lands, then you would have the largest host ever seen at your command.
Except for that amassed by the brothers in the land of Gaul that brought the great temple of the Oracle to his knees in the far-off land.
Or so the tales tell.
Your warriors are fine indeed, mighty king, and your noble strong. Yet many have made peace with these foreign settlers from the land of the Eagle. We would defend their right to do so and fight no war for them that they did not seek. I have heard that the Eagle has not yet landed on your shores.
Well, that is true, King. At least, not in force. We have had messengers and have a few trade deals arranged.
So, is it not more likely that, were we to be bound by the bounds of marriage and, perhaps, blood, you would be calling for the aid of the Island of the Mighty should the Romans mass upon your shores?
That exists as a possibility, my lord. I'm sure we both have eyes in foreign lands, yes? I'm also sure that your eyes see the Iron Legions spread out far and wide, spread thinly along the borders of their mighty empire, yes?
You are right, my friend. And as you say, Mother Aryu has taken many peoples to her breast, and still she feeds them all. If the Eagle wants to settle on your lands, we could always help you negotiate client kingships with them, much as we have done here on our own soil.
Mother Lugh cast his eyes toward Branwen, and all of the brothers could see the red sheen of lust fill the Irishman's eyes. Branwen looked down and let her dark hair fall forward over her face. Did this tall, strong, crimson-haired warrior king want her, or just her brother's strength? Was he looking for military aid or trade, or did he truly want her? Why could she not tell the full meaning behind his intense eyes and noble brow? She looked over at her other brothers to see how they were reacting, to see if they would think of something that would clarify this momentous moment for both herself, her brother the High King, and the two islands. She looked for Manawydan, and his eyes caught hers, but as usual she could read little from them. They spoke of realms not of this earth, and relationships, links and connections, that were beyond their capability to understand. She could see, however, that they were filled with a love for her that was as deep as the deepest ocean, and his feelings washed over her like a warm cloak. Surely he would advise Bran wisely, for his sight was as deep as any druid's, that she knew. Then she searched for Nissian's eyes. His love was as pure as a gentle rainfall on a warm day, as the caress of a feather as it falls into the hand from the heavens, and his heart poured love out as strongly as the Rhaeadr waterfall cast its silver-white threads on all who came near. She felt it strongest when he was with his twin, for as Evnissian's soul cried out in dark need, so did Nissian's fill as many splits, cracks and holes with his love as he was able. At other times he radiated peace like the sun radiates warmth on a gentle spring morning. However hard she searched the faces around the table, and even among the crowd gathered around the circle, she could see no sign of either of the twins. She searched the face of the mighty Bran, but his eyes were roving among the Irish nobles, perhaps looking for any signs of duplicity or any weakness, before settling once more on the handsome young face of Matholwch, the Irish High King. Not once did his eyes fall on her as she sat but two seats away from her brother, and her heart began to accept what her head was already telling her. Bran would choose peace, almost at any cost.
Exactly so. And should the fair maid, your sister Branwyn, produce an heir to me, then that heir may, in turn, be chosen as High King of the Two Islands.
Now Bran looked at her, and his eyes seemed to see right through her into some unknown future. Those deep brown eyes then slid from her to his son, the young warrior Caradawg, for a brief, tender moment. Branwen wondered what dreams the blessed Bran held for his own son's destiny, should she bear a son who would grow to be High King of both Erin and Pradine. As the High King turned once more to the red-haired Irishman, Caradawg looked deeply into the bottom of his ale cup and drained it in one draught.
And my sister would live with you? In Ireland, of course.
She would be cherished at my court, my lord.
And the bride price? What do you bring to the table, my young friend?
Well, let me ask you a question, my lord, yes?
Certainly.
How many knights are there in your household? How many true companions ride at your side when the mighty Bran takes to the field?
Including my family, I would say nearly 100 nobles, my lord.
Then I would bring each of your most prized companions a noble steed from our most noble stock, my king, yes? Erin has horses with a bloodline that stretches back to the first mighty steeds, whose hooves pounded the grassland across our wide fields. Each as well as 20 warriors, yes? Stallions and mares, enough to carry on the bloodline on the shores of Albion.
Matholwch sat back with a wide grin spreading across his face. He stroked his beard with a quiet glee. He could see from Bran's eyes that once the details had been settled, his offer would be accepted. He watched Branwen eagerly as she sat demurely at the table across from him, her raven hair falling in caressing cascades from under her headscarf. Her azure blue eyes glowing a bright colour in the flickering light of the great fire in the centre of the ring of tables. Her long, slender fingers wrapped tightly around the cup in front of her. Bran looked around at the faces of his nobles. Most were looking intrigued, excited, and perhaps even eager at the thought of the horses from out of legend that would soon be bearing them across the fields of Pradine with the speed of the wind and the grace of the swan. Bran also looked at Branwen and wondered whether she would bring a child to term to this Irish king, for if she did, then she would be one of the few, like his mother, who could bear a child eligible to rule, one of the great matriarchs. He sighed. His decision had already been made, but somehow he still needed confirmation. He turned to his elder brother, Manawydan.
Tell me, brother, what would you advise your brother and your king in this matter?
I do not see far enough to tell you what may be, brother.
But this I see clearly enough. There is more to this Irishman than meets mortal eye.
What do you mean? Brother, what do you see?
I see many images of him reflected in a mirror's gleam, Bran. There does not seem to be a clear focus on the boy.
He's hardly a boy, brother. He carries many years' growth in his beard.
And yet, not in his eyes. Brother, I see your desire for peace burn in your breast, but I urge caution.
So shall it be.
He turned to each of his nobles, and they talked together about the proposed match. Branwen watched them with a degree of disinterest, surely knew what they would decide. Her thoughts dwelt with the Irish king, now talking urgently to his nobles, and she wondered whether she could learn to love this strange man in her turn. She watched Pendaran turn to Bran and wait for his turn to speak, her heart leaping to the young Pryderi, who seemed to have nothing but her best interests in his eyes. And then Bendigeidvran, the blessed Bran, spoke.
Pendaran, what do you see in the mists, old druid?
The future is never fixed, my lord. Only some of the Fae see all the twists and turns that lie on the web of destinies. But some skeins are stronger than others, and some are weak and liable to snap, break, and wither into nothingness.
I have listened to much and drank more, old man. Let us talk plainly.
Ever is it thus, my lord. So, all of us may choose our future from many futures, but the path of our choices tend to gather together like gulls over fish heads after a day's fishing. So some paths are more likely to be chosen than others. Some are wide and easily chosen, as they teach many lessons. Rarer still are those paths that hold fewer lessons, fewer choices, and often fewer rewards. The wide paths are the strong skeins that are likely to be chosen, and the rarer paths, well, they tend to be the weaker threads.
Yes, I understand, Pendaran, but what should I choose for the kingdom, for my sister, and for the land in my care?
As far as I can see, my lord, the future lies in that wider path, that stronger skein of thread. I can also only tell you three things further, my king. Firstly, the future will be one of happiness and of sorrow, of love and of pain. There will be peace and there will be war. There will be life and there will be death. Lastly, my lord, you have already made the choice.
Then hearken, my lord Matholic, and my dear sister Branwen. These are my words. Our lady Branwen shall marry the Red King from Erin, Matholic of the Red Lock, and we shall accept the bride prize gladly. It has been agreed. The lady Branwen will marry the King Matholic, bringing about a union of royal blood and our two mighty islands. Let us depart from this place on the morrow and begin the celebrations for the wedding of our sister Branwen to the Lord Matholic. It is a mighty fort and a safe harbour for the Irish ships. After the prescribed year and a day, let Matholic and the Emerald Isles be fasted by hand to our most royal sister Branwen of the Line of Dawn.
There was great joy then, and the celebrations continued until the rosy dawn of the next morning threw a soft amber light over the horses and men as the royal party prepared for the march to Aberfraw on the ancient Druid Isle of Mourne. Matholic and his men returned to their fleet, lifted the sails high to catch the strong winds, and also set off towards Aberfraw. The hill fort at Aberfraw was filled with bustling activity. No one could remember a time when more people had gathered inside its deep walls. Wide tents, tall pavilions, and hastily erected huts were overflowing the main enclosure and spreading like a ripe harvest onto the wide, fertile plains outside the main walls. There was no great hall at the centre of the dun, for with over 1,000 people attending him, no house was ever large enough to house the court of Bendigeidvran. His family, companions, nobles, guards, servitors, and especially his favoured musicians were all in fancy pavilions around him. He sat back in his chair, enchanted by the magical strains of his favourite harpers, and watched the Irish warriors set up their own tents and camps. Branwen gazed from under the draping sweep of her raven dark hair over the table at Matholic. His own long bright red hair fell wildly about his shoulders. His beard had been freshly oiled, and his richly embroidered cloak was thrown back over his broad shoulders. The vision of his nobility held her gaze for many long minutes. There were none there, however, who saw her breath catch slightly every time his eyes caught hers, before they slipped back to the nobles from the Island of the Mighty. There were none there, though, that felt her heart skip a beat on the one time that his eyes drank deeply of her gaze, and a small smile caressed his generous mouth before he seemed to pull his gaze reluctantly away from her. So after a whole year and a day had passed, they began the festivities for the hound fasting of Branwen and Matholwch. All day long there were horse races, feats of strength and agility, and much music. As dusk fell, turning all men into shadowy figures with faces illuminated by firelight, they sat down to feast the happy couple. The ale flowed freely, and after the ceremony they feasted and toasted the health, wealth and happiness of Branwen and Matholwch. They continued feasting and conversing until the sun was beginning to send gentle light out over the sea, and the grass by their feet turned from black to grey. It was only when sleep seemed more attractive than drinking that the stewards led them to their private tents. On that night, Matholwch slept with Branwen. As the ending of the time of the three-day midsummer feast fast approached, by the evening of the very day on which they had all set foot inside the ditches of Aberfraw, Bran, Matholwch, Manawydan and Branwen all sat down to meet together. The blessed Bran, High King of the Island of the Mighty, sat at the head of the high table, with his elder brother Manawydan, the son of Clea, by his side. On his other side sat the tall king from Erin, Matholwch the Red, noble of brow, keen of eye and strong of beard, with the most fair Branwen at his side. And each evening they sat in this fashion, enjoying each other's company. During the day the men would hunt or race on their horses. Branwen went with them on those days when they rode far into the countryside, exploring the lakes, woodland and hills on the north of the island. On one evening they stopped to feast on a wide, flat-topped hill that would later be known as Arthur's Table. They only had the smallest of retinues with them, and the nobles chatted long under the moonlight as they waited for the food to be brought from the cooking spits erected around the edge of the hill. And then they all sat down to meat, flame-lit by the huge midsummer bonfire at the highest point on the hill.
Is our table to your liking, my lord?
In truth it is, my lord. Such a feast as I have not partaken in many a year. I miss the great fire that burns throughout the festival, much as yours burns brightly now.
The tides of light are at their highest flow and pause for a brief while before they ebb. We stand between times waiting for the light to ebb again.
Do you still send burning sunwheels down the hillsides across Erin, my lord?
We do. We take it as a good omen for the coming year if the wheels roll a great distance before falling over or breaking apart. The harvest will be good and we will thrive.
I remember seeing the sun roll across the land from Wisneck when I was a child.
Matholwch paused for a moment and called for a servant to bring him some more wine. As the young man approached and began to fill the Irish king's goblet with wine, he overfilled the cup, and the wine splashed onto Matholwch's fine clothes. Without a second thought, Matholwch rushed out at the young man and caught him with the back of his hand that held the goblet. The goblet broke, and shards of broken pottery cut the servant's cheek.
Idiot! Fetch me some more wine, and then get out of my sight.
The High King wondered then at the sharp temper of Matholwch. How quickly the young flame had blazed, and how hot the embers still glowed. Bran looked at his sister's face and wondered whether the marriage had been the correct choice. Branwen, however, was still watching the Irish King with rapt attention, and she did not seem to have noticed his lightning-fast outburst of cruelty. Manawydan also saw the wonder in her eyes and a smile on Branwen's lips as Matholwch, the Irish warrior king, bid them all good night and held out his hand to Branwen. She stood and allowed the king to lead her to his pavilion for another night of bliss.
Next episode, a hideous act takes place, and the Irish king suffers a grave insult.
Ooh, I wonder what that is.
Well, you'll have to wait and find out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. However.
Have we got any list of feedback?
We have. We've received a message from Michael who says...
Hello, my name's Michael Bartley. I'm a United States citizen, lived in different parts of the U.S., been to Europe, different parts of the world. but I don't have a lot of history on my family, where I was, you know, where my ancestors are from. I just found out through DNA that I am, in fact, 88% Irish, or from the island, British Wales, you know, UK, Scotland, I don't know, somewhere in there. But my last name, again, is Bartley, which I'm learning a lot about. Stumbled across some information, the Partholonians, that led me to your website, Gods in the Myths, Part 1 of the Book of Invasions. And that's what I'm reading about, or that's what I'm listening to you guys tell. Anyway, I just wanted to pause for a minute in the story and send you this message. I have no idea how old the website is, when this was. I guess episode 35 is here, it says. But, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to say thanks, man. First-time visitor, like I said, never heard of any of your stuff before. My a quest for knowledge regarding my name and my family heritage has brought me to the site. So I hope to find out some fascinating things. I'll learn some tales and that. So, I don't know, I'm pumped about it. I just want to say thanks again. Bye-bye.
Hi, Michael. It's great to hear from you. We're really pleased that you found the podcast.
It's great that you're finding the Irish stories interesting. It's amazing with the new DNA testing, with what we're finding out about our family histories and our ancestors. It's all fascinating stuff.
It is.
I recently read that there are more Irish descendants in America than there are in Ireland now.
Well, that's freaky.
I know. Amazing, though, isn't it?
It is. Hmm. It is. So we wish you lots of luck on your journey to discover your heritage, Michael. Thank you so much for your lovely message.
Yes, thank you. And we hope you continue to enjoy the shows. If any of our newer listeners would like to listen to our Irish stories, the beginning of the Book of Invasions can be found with episode 1 at CelticMythPodShow.com/Irish1.
Super. Super. So let's have a break for a moment and listen to a promo, shall we?
Yes, this is the Fantastic Fairy Folk podcast.
Hello from the Fairy Folk, the audio tour that takes you across the United Kingdom, stopping off at all the magical and mystical places along the way. Sail across the sea to meet lovesick mermaids, climb mountains to find fire-breathing dragons, and venture through great forests to find pesky pixies, all without leaving the comfort of your own home. So join us on our next adventure over at the Fairy Folk podcast, available to download now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. See you there.
And that was the Fairy Folk podcast, a quick guide to fairies and folklore that takes the form of an audio tour.
What a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
It is. Always bright and breezy.
Yes.
So before we come to the end of the show, we'd just like to mention that for those of you listening on Facebook, you might find you don't hear the song that we've got coming up. This is because Facebook has muted it. We're trying to correct the situation with them, but as yet we've had no reply from them.
If you don't hear the music, please look on the page that you're listening from and you'll see that we've posted a YouTube video of the music that should be here. If you're listening in any other way, have a listen to the fantastic Sprig and Mist with their track Bridget, and we'll see you next week.
We will. Until then.
Húvar.
have been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. If you enjoyed listening to this show, please come and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast.
We hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com or come and chat to us on social media. All of the links are on our contact page on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com.
We'd also like to send out a big shout of thanks to Coolan's Hounds for our theme music, and that's available at sfhounds.com.
This show is a Celtic Myth Show production.